Glenn, I know it's nicer by you down in Florida, but the last couple of days have been outstanding here in the Chicagoland area, and every golf course that was actually still open was sold out pretty much. 100 and some golfers playing each day at Pine Meadow Golf Club in Mundelein. I was one of them on Wednesday. It was great to get out and hustle around the golf course and more or less get 18 holes in as darkness rained down on pretty much the last hole on me and my group. But anyway, we played, and looking ahead at the weather forecast here the next couple of weeks, all the way up till Christmas, we're not going to have a day better than 42. And I got to believe we've pretty much seen the end of outdoor golf season here in Chicago.
Well, you know, you're right. The Florida has been quite nice to play. And I was happy to say that I was in on a media fam trip in December. Don't usually have many of those anymore. That focused on the opening of a new golf course, the Steve Smyers Design in Sebring, Florida. Very interesting. It's a 12-hole golf course, a very sporty par three holes that is called the 12. And it's called the 12 because it is the auto track, which is within earshot of it, is the scene of within the auto racing world of a very famous race called the 12 Hours of Sebring. So they linked up the golf with the at a resort there with the famous auto track, and it was a lot of fun. We have a few of our friends in the golf travel world all joined me, and we got to be the first ones to play a brand new golf course. So anyway, golf is not dead yet, and it's not going to be dead for we got at least the U.S. Women's Open and another big LPGA tournament next week, and before we know it, we'll be into 2021 and full schedule again.
Well, Len, there's been exciting news here in Chicago, and I think we'll come back and touch on the 2026 President's Cup coming to Medina shortly. But in the meantime, let's talk about the U.S. Women's Open. It seems weird having a major in the second week of December. I'm not sure it'll ever happen again. And it's interesting to see it being played on two golf courses, but the U.S. Women's Open is underway, and the golf course looks pretty good. And of course, the way they overseed it down south this time of year, it's made for some interesting colors and pictures during the TV broadcast.
But you know what's surprising me? Now, admittedly, we're doing this podcast during the second round, and so there's a lot of golf to be played. But you know what's really striking to me is the leaderboard right now. The top 24, which encompasses all of the top 10s in the standings, but given ties and all, includes nine American players. Amy Olson, who was a leader in the first round, has dropped into second, but she's an American player. We don't usually see that good a run in the LPGA Tour events. And that group doesn't include Lexi Thompson, who is, I'm sure, the best-known American player. So I'm looking for an interesting weekend, and it'd be great to see American players do well. The U.S. Women's Open has been a kind of an event where the Korean players have had their way for too many years lately. They've been a very strong contingent all the time, and I'm sure they'll wind up having a lot of players well up in the standings. But it's been an interesting first round and a half, that's for sure.
Len, before we talk any more about the U.S. Women's Open, we were talking about the weather up here, and perhaps we've reached the end pretty much of outdoor golf season, which means it's going to be indoor golf season here in the Chicago area. And of course, the golf domes are now open, including the Mistwood Golf Dome out in Bolingbrook. And better news yet, just coming out this morning from the people at Mistwood, the McWethy Sports Bar is open, and they are making food to go, and you can pick it up and carry it out. But the brand new McPork Rib Sandwich that features boneless pork rib, McWethy's barbecue sauce, crispy onion strings, all served on French loaf with McWethy's seasonings from the chef, are all included, now available. So it'll be something that you can sink your teeth into during the holiday season. while you're watching football or sports, or just on the way home from hitting golf balls or getting your lesson in the Mistwood Golf Dome located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. So we'll talk a little bit more about our friends at Mistwood and everything they've got going on coming up a little later. But, you know, the U.S. Women's Open that we touched on for a minute or two there, it's interesting seeing it played on two golf courses in the U.S. amateur format. And you have to wonder at some point if there was a facility that had two outstanding championship golf courses. Could a U.S. Open increase the size of the field to what they do for like the mid-amateur championship and bring the U.S. Open into play on two golf courses and expand the field from 156 to 312? You wonder if the USGA would ever consider it.
I would bet they're going to consider it. And in fact, you know, it really is quite a good idea, because we saw on a smaller scale what doing that did for the Illinois Open. It brought a lot more people into play, a lot more people trying to qualify. And I think it would be, a good thing for golf in general. I don't know about the men's U.S. Open, whether it would need any more boost than it already gets. But, you know, the women's Open, the senior Opens, nothing wrong with having a big field for those. That would only help the event and entice more people to try to qualify. So I think that the fact that the USGA is giving it a shot for this U.S. Women's Open, I think they're going to study it, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see it happen again in other big Open championships.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the USGA does with its championships going forward after seeing how this one plays out. Man, it'll be interesting to see which lady hoists the trophy on Sunday and actually gets a, shall we say, an early holiday gift. But anyway, there has been news here in the Chicago area this week. And I know that I learned last week after we did the podcast that renovation plans were coming to Conway Farms starting next fall, the end of August. And then in a more intensified scale by the end of September. So the Conway Farms members and their guests will have 9 holes open in September. And then we're looking at a shutdown as they redo that golf course with an emphasis, as I learned from General Manager Todd Marsh, on the member guest experience. But it seems like a lot of their improvements will also be very beneficial to any type of big-time golf event that the club wants to host. And that's one of the great things about Conway Farms, is they've always embraced hosting major championship golf, both on the amateur level and the professional level. So whether it's a PGA Tour event, a USGA event, or an event from the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, it'll be interesting to see what the new look at Conway Farms is going to be when they finish with it.
Yeah, Conway has been a great tournament site. My guess is that the BMW Championship, whenever it's going to ready to return to Chicago, it was played 3 times there at Conway, and maybe it's a time to go back there, give Conway a shot again. It's going to be away from Chicago for 2 straight years, and we don't know if that run will be 3 or 4, but sooner or later you would think that the BMW would be back in Chicago where it got its early roots, and Conway was a good site for it 3 times. Why not 4?
Well, the only thing is that the current agreement with BMW will expire while these championships are out of town, so we'll have to see if BMW comes back and actually is here, and whether or not that championship would return to Chicago in 2023, it'll be interesting to see. There is some belief out there that Olympia Fields will get a chance to host again if they wish to do so, and actually have a tournament, PGA Tour event, the type of event that they were expecting this year before the pandemic forced the removal of fans and big-time hospitality and canceling a lot of the events and the way they wanted to do the championship down at Olympia Fields.
Well, Olympia Fields did about as good a job as it could possibly do with given the circumstances. I mean, that course held up very, very well. It was a stronger test than it was back in 2003 when the U.S. Open was played there. I think Olympia Fields has has been very favorably received the way it handled the BMW Championship. And that's right. That Olympia could well bring the tournament back there. There'd be nothing wrong with that either.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that renovation all comes together at Conway Farms. There's going to be some bunker work, some irrigation work, and there will be some yardage added to the golf course. But as how much and on what holes and where that's going to be is still remains to be seen. But got to believe that it'll be made longer for championship play. And at the same time, some of the plans are going to do things so that there's more room for galleries, bigger galleries, and better gallery flow around the golf course that did kind of struggle in a couple places when the BMW Championship was there last in 2017.
Conway tournaments there, I think what I'll take back from them was the play of Jim Furyk, 59. That's the Jim Furyk 59 at the in the BMW back in the day. But, you know, Conway was kind of came in right on that after a 20-year run of PGA Tour golf at Dog Hill Upstrut course. And it was, at that point in time, I think it was well-received because it was fresh. It was something a little different. It gave the tournament a little more to talk about at that time. So, you know, the fact that they're lengthening that a little bit suggests to me it's going to be a PGA Tour event of some sort over there. I don't think they lengthen it much for any other tour, but the fact that they are doing a major project does suggest that something big is coming there. Can't wait to find out what it is.
Well, and I knew from talking to people at both clubs, both Conway Farms and Medina, over the last year or so, that it was pretty obvious that the President's Cup was coming to town. The announcement might be even coming to town before Santa gets here, and that's exactly what has happened. You know, there was some rumors for a while about 2026 as the President's Cup was pushed back a year to even years because of the pandemic, that even though there had been an announcement for Harding Park was working on other options and was prepared to jettison the President's Cup if some of their other opportunities came in. And of course, one of them did. It's a regular PGA Tour event with NBA star Stephen Curry as the chairman of the event. And apparently some of his sponsors in the corporate world will be involved. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But as a result, Harding Park that hosted the PGA Championship this past August that was won by Colin Morikawa, and Colin played great, and he knew a little bit about the golf course. He was kind of the hometown favorite because he went to college not far from there, but Harding Park has moved on to a PGA Tour event. It brought the President's Cup back open for 2026, and of course, Medina and Conway Farms had been in the mix for that tournament anyway, and as a result, the President's Cup is now going to Medina in 2026, and before 2026 gets here, the announcement came out that Medina, number three, the championship golf course, will see some sort of a major renovation. And you would think right away, I'm sure most local people would have said, oh, they're going to bring in Gil Hanse, or they're going to bring in Ben Crenshaw and Bill Corr, or somebody like that. But no, kind of a little bit of a surprise here. They went outside of the country all the way to Australia to bring in a golf design firm that is headed up by 2006 U.S. Open champion Jeff Ogilvy, who won the last U.S. Open prior to this year that was held at Wingfoot. Some people still call it the U.S. Open that Phil lost it, more so than Ogilvy won it, but Phil Mickelson having a chance until he made double bogey on the last hole and sort of threw away the lead that he had. But regardless, Medina, the groundwork for this started to come together only several weeks after the BMW Championship last year. And there was a lot of people who speculated that a winning score of 25 under par on course three would not sit well with the membership over there. And perhaps that partially played into it. But at the same time, Medina appears to want to be ready to be back in the championship mode, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Ogilvy, he doesn't have a worldwide reputation as a golf course architect. I don't know the keys to what, you know, much of his design theory at all, but it does seem to fit the fact that for the President's Cup, that a player who from you know, beyond the U.S. here would have an involvement in the fixing up the golf course in preparation for the event. And I will say this, I think Medina's a perfect choice for the President's Cup. I mean, it's a course that has a rich tournament history, and of course, we all remember the last international event there, the 2012 Ryder Cup, a very special Ryder Cup. The U.S. unfortunately didn't have it the final day in singles and wound up losing in a very dramatic fashion. But I think that the President's Cup will be a real good fit in both in Chicago and at Medina. You know, Medina seems to do everything right, I think, when they do their tournaments. They are not really interested in having any annual event there, and I can't really say I would blame the membership there, but they are always interested in having a big event. The President's Cup, I hope that sometime before then, the international team gets a win, because right now, it's unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your loyalties, but the event needs a little more. It's like the Ryder Cup early on when the American team won all the time. You need a little more competitive an event. You know, I kind of like to see this President's Cup be a real battle between the U.S. team and the international team rather than the usual U.S. Steamroller. But I welcome it coming to Medina. I think that's great for Medina and great for Chicago and just great for golf in the Chicago area.
Len, I want to remind everybody, we talked about McWethy's Sports Bar and that great new rib sandwich. But we want to remind everybody that the Golf Dome is open as well. The Golf Dome is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays from 7 a.m. to also 10 p.m. due to the current COVID Tier 3 restrictions running rampant through Illinois. Reservations are required to come and get a hitting bay, and you can reserve a tee time online, and reservations are required again, and also do not arrive any earlier than 10 minutes before your select time, because they just realistically right now don't want people standing around and adding to the crowd size. So MissWoodGolfDome.com. And if you have questions, you can call them at 630-739-7600. That's 630-739-7600. The Misswood Golf Dome, McWethy's Sports Bar, located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook and or Bolingbrook Drive out there. Always a great place for golf fun during the winter months. They've still got the Top Tracer range set up out there, which is really good. And if you need lessons or club fittings, you can go there for that as well. So always a great place to go, the Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook all winter long. Len, I know that, you know, it sounds like golf is picking up here and in terms of people playing, but something that was sent to me today kind of surprised me was the fact that somebody put a story out that actually said the COVID pandemic has saved golf. And I don't know that is a true phrase at all. I don't know that golf needs saving. Who knows? Golf got a COVID booster shot, so to speak. And there was a few more new people playing, more people buying golf equipment. And on those fronts, the last several months have been busy for the industry, especially I know here in Illinois. And maybe you can take a look at it from the Florida standpoint, but I don't know that golf needed saving, and I think it was a very poor headline for the story.
Yeah, the saving that's a big stretch there. No question, though, pandemic give golf a boost. I mean, that's pretty obvious all across the country. I mean, more and more people are playing, more and more people are buying equipment. Golf was something that lots of people could do when they couldn't do a lot of other things. So golf did benefit from this horrible pandemic. But to say that the pandemic saved golf, I don't think so. I don't think it's remotely close to that. Nothing wrong with getting a boost from wherever it comes from, though. But certainly it wasn't a saver.
Len, the other thing that I wanted to review with our podcast audience is that if they haven't listened to golfersongolf.com this week, you may want to stop by and check out my interview with the brand new PGA of America president, Jim Richardson, And we talked about many things, PGA of America, to their merchandise shows, to their brand new golf courses that are getting built at their new corporate facility in Frisco, Texas. We talked about the dates changing around with the PGA Championship and going back to May, the rescheduling of the Ryder Cup, and a whole bunch of other good things. And I think a lot of people who play golf might be familiar by now of the PGA Junior League, which was for kids. But one of their new plans for next year is the PGA Family League. And I believe at some places, it's going to give an opportunity for kids to play in a league with their parents, maybe mother-daughter, father-son, vice versa, playing against the another couple and their kids at the same times. Family golf against family golf.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what format that one takes, because there's all kinds of possibilities, father-daughter, father-son, mother-daughter, everything. And you got age group, you got skill level things. Are they going to make it a team, some kind of a team amongst the club members? It's a fresh idea, and I'm sure that once all the everything is ironed out, it'll be a popular thing. I was at an event here in Florida this week in which a group called the Citrus Golf Trail is announcing that it's going to, December, host a big event for amateurs that is a takeoff on the old Hagen Hay Golf Classic and the J.C. Penney Golf Classic, which were, you know, they were PGA Tour events that brought in a lot of people and had different formats that brought in something else different to golf. So they're all excited about that kind of thing here where I'm from in PGA Village in Florida. So it's great that golf keeps getting new ideas. And I know that Jim Richardson, I think he's going to be a great president for that group. Not that there haven't been great ones before. And Susie Whaley, his immediate predecessor, was one of those. But great to have a Midwestern guy like Jim from Wisconsin in charge of the PGA. And it's going to be interesting to see where the group goes with his leadership. I'm sure it'll do a lot of good things.
Well, then finally, in closing for the week, I want to let everybody know that I tested out some things yesterday, some new equipment that's on the market, and a couple of other things at the main office and main fitting center of Club Champion that's located on Route 83 down in Willowbrook. And I'm looking forward to posting that story next week at golfersongolf.com. And also, you and I can review some new things in the world of equipment and golf club fitting. Finally, we want to mention our friends at Mistwood. And just because the golf course is closed for the year over at Mistwood Golf Club, McWethy's Tavern in the clubhouse is still open. But before you go over there and visit McWethy's, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, please call ahead and get the restrictions and all of that information, because currently you might be limited to carry out or delivery and not be able to eat inside. Hopefully that will all change. But again, Mistwood, that number over there is 815-254-3333. And always a great place to stop in for a meal. And right now, though, you might have to take that meal with you. But call before you go. And there are different food options, including the family meal right now coming out of both McWethy's places. You've got a family of 3, 4, 5. Stop in and put your whole order in and take a whole family meal home for everybody to go from McWethy's. Lenny, any final thoughts on your end? Otherwise, we'll look forward to Podcast 39 next week.
All I can say is you all things golf and all things food, you can't beat Mistwood. And I wish I was back in Chicago to experience all the good things that always go on over there.